Hallelujah. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Miss Susan. What a blessing. Let's take our Bible today and look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And it's been a while since I preached out of this text this morning. The Lord gave me this message a couple weeks ago. And I was reading my Bible. And I'm going to preach on a very important subject this morning when it comes to the child of God. And when it comes to the lost world, and I preach a lot of funerals out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, because it tells us about our new body. It tells us about our new home. It tells us about the assurance we have in Jesus Christ that when we die, we're going to be with Jesus. Where happens to sinners when they die? They go to hell is where they go. And what a sad thing that is for the lost. Because the Bible says the rich man was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, flames of fire. And all he wanted was just a drink of water, just a drop of water is what he wanted. And see, the sinners don't have any hope. And that's why the Bible says, if in this world only we have hope, we're all men most miserable. But the child of God, thank God we have the blessed hope. And that is, hey, we're going to be with God to the place that He's prepared for us. So if you found 2 Corinthians chapter 5, say amen, and I know that you're there. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, for we know, hallelujah, we have a know-so salvation. We know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, that's our body. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which from heaven, if being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, our body do groan, being burdened not that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. One day we're going to have an immortal body, likened unto Jesus Christ's glorious body. Amen. Now he that hath brought us the selfsame thing is God, who has also given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident. Remember, knowing, confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. They have all these shows where ghosts appear and walk around. Can I tell you, that is not how it really is. The moment you die, if you're saved, you're with Jesus Christ. The moment you die, if you're lost, you're in hell. You say, what are these representations of ghosts? It's unclean, evil spirits impersonating the dead. Hey, I've seen spirits when I was lost. And I've heard voices when I was lost. And I've seen the real thing. And it's a terrifying thing when you see a spirit walking around. And it's always, spirits are invoked through devil worship and witchcraft and all those kind of things. And I've seen it firsthand, and it's not a pretty thing to see. But I'll tell you right now, hey, I've been at the deathbed of the dying, and I've seen the lost go to hell and the saved go to heaven. And their experiences are polar opposites. That's why Paul said in verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hey, the child of God, hey, we're going to have a reward one day, whether it's good or bad. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, I trust also, are made manifest in your consciences, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Paul went on to say, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live, here it is, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now we're going to take our text from that phrase in verse 15. where it says that they which live not, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I'm going to preach on this thought this morning of living unto God. Where do Christians struggle in their life? Living unto God. Living unto God is where Christians struggle. Because the world says to live unto yourself and to live unto the world. You're either living unto the for the world, you're living for yourself, you're living for the devil, or you're living unto God. And the pull to live under those three evil things is a strong pull. But God wants us to live unto Him. He's the one that makes life worth the living. It was Jesus Christ that came and said that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But that's in the Christ-lived life. Living unto God this morning. Let's pray and we'll preach the message. Father, I pray You bless the Word this morning. And God, living unto God is such a great thing. And Lord, there's been times I didn't live unto You, but mostly I've lived my life unto You since I've been saved. And God, I can say that, Lord, that I've had the abundant life and I have the abundant life. And I'm going to have the abundant life because that's what living unto God produces. And how many people we've seen that hate life and they're so unhappy and they're so miserable because they don't know what living unto God is all about. And Lord, I pray You bless the Word this morning. Speak to every child of God. Convict the sinner. Do what needs done, Father. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning you preach on this thought of living unto God. Can I say this this morning? When it comes to humanity, we belong to God. You say, why do we belong to God? I don't belong to anybody. Oh, yeah, you belong to God because He made you. And He gave you life and He gave you breath and you're not your own. It was God that made us. Hey, let me tell you something. You were not created in a little cesspool where there was tadpoles and it crawled out and became something else and became something else, climbed up in a tree. And then all of a sudden that was you. That's a lie. That has never been true, will never be true. Evolution is a joke. The amazing Almighty God that created different species. You have never in your life seen a transitional species. Greek mythology had satyrs where you had a man's body and an animal's bottom. But you've never seen anything like that. And there's no archaeological record of any half-being. And neither will there ever be, because God made every species distinct in their kind. Well, you say, well, what about when dogs, different types? They're all dogs. And the more they mix, the weaker they get. I mean, a Chihuahua dog is not the pride of the race. You say, what's the pride of the dog kingdom? The wolf. But you can mix things and make crazy things. But I'll tell you right now, there is no transitional. Because it was God that made us. And see, as the child of God, how much more does the child of God belong to the Lord? He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, He's the potter, we're the clay. Amen. We belong to God. Can I say this morning? No, we belong to God, but He birthed us. Hey, He's the one that gave me everlasting life and birthed me into His kingdom. That's why the Bible says being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but not of corruptible seed, but incorrupt by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. Amen. You say, I don't even know what that means. That's because you're probably not saved. Hey, when He born us again into God, into His kingdom, He rebirthed our spirits. And we became alive unto the things of God. That's why as a child of God, it bothers me to cuss and cheat and lie and steal and do all them terrible things. There was a time when my sin didn't bother me, but it bothers me now. You say, why? Because I'm a child of God, hallelujah, and I'm not a child of the devil anymore. When I was a child of the devil, I did the things the devil said and the things that he taught me, and I did it with joy. Not anymore. I hate my sin because I'm a child of God. You say, I love sin, then you're probably not a child of God. Because a child of God hates sin. Amen. That's why in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus Christ by night, because he was afraid of being identified with the Lord, and he came to the Lord, and he asked him that question, and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou do except God be with him. And Jesus Christ, knowing his heart, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he the second time and through his mother's womb be born? Nicodemus is thinking physical. Christ is speaking spiritual. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he explains it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the first birth, the physical birth, the water birth around a baby. He says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again. The second birth is a spiritual birth. He separates the physical from the spiritual. And then he says, you must be born again. You know, it's hard to live unto God if you've never been born again. Because then all you're doing is pretending to be something you're not. Thank God we belong to God. He birthed us. He bought us. Aren't you glad He bought us? Aren't you glad He redeemed us? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible makes it very clear that it wasn't with silver and gold. You can't purchase your salvation. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Thank God He purchased our salvation. And He said this, is for as much you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, we were bought with a price. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You know why we live unto God? Because we were bought with a price. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God He birthed us and He bought us, but thank God He brought us. You say, where did He bring us to? The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He took me out of the kingdom of the devil and brought me into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1 and verse 9 says this, for this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Hey, you're a child of God. You ought to be, the Bible says that we ought to be walking worthy of the Lord and that we ought to be fruitful in every good work. He said, strengthen with a might and according to the glorious power of all, unto all patience and long-suffering joyfulness, giving thanks unto God, unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah, I'm a child of a king and I'm part of His kingdom. And we should live unto God in all things. Willingly, joyfully, thankfully. We shouldn't be dragged kicking and screaming to live for God. We shouldn't be driven by a whip. We shouldn't be, have to be intimidated to serve the Lord. You know, if you're kids, sometimes you got to bring them to church kicking and screaming because they don't want to be here. Right? Say amen. We can smile. We can tell the truth. Right? I don't feel like going today. Tough, kid. We're going. My kids said, Dad, can't we ever stay home? No! I said, when y'all get born again, you'll understand why. I don't expect unregenerated sinners to act like saints. But as long as you put your feet under my table, I have a say. He said, Brother Chris, you are a piece of work. That's right. No doubt. No doubt I am. I got a few simple things. And you know everything I say is simple. Because I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. The first thing is this. Living unto God begins with, the first thing is faith. Living unto God begins with faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, you cannot come unto God unless there's some faith. And that's where salvation comes in. You're never going to live unto God unless you've really been born again. You can't fake it till you make it. You cannot fake Christianity. Paul said this, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the Son of God. Faith is the basis of salvation. Believing. It's the basis of it. And that's where the breakdown is for so many. Believing has been far removed and replaced with tradition and good works. How many people go around saying, I'm a good person? When the Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, ye shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. What was he meaning by that? Hey, they know what the right thing is, and you've got to be better than they are. And the scribes and Pharisees couldn't even live up to their own rules. But Jesus Christ did. So the basis of salvation is faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The basis of salvation is faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I say this? Faith is what where salvation comes in, and next is where service comes in. You know why I serve God? Because I believe in Him. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by mercy of God, these you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's reasonable to serve and live for God after salvation. Can I say this? Something's wrong if we don't. No one made me get up and go to church when I was 17. I wanted to go to church. No one made me ride the bus when I was 17. I wanted to ride the bus when I was 17. Now, I may not want to ride it when I'm 60, but I wanted to ride it when I was 17. I got a promotion. Now I drive the bus. Hallelujah. I told Devin, hurry up and get your CDL so I can ride the bus again. I will tell you this. It has always been a joy living unto God. I've always enjoyed coming to church and fellowshipping. I've always enjoyed the preaching. There have been times in my life I haven't enjoyed the preaching. I always enjoyed the preaching. And even when I was, when the Holy Spirit was convicting me the whole time, I was thanking God for the preaching. You say, what's the preaching do? The Holy Ghost exposes what's wrong in your life. And many times the preacher wasn't even preaching on my sin, but the Holy Ghost was. So faith leads to salvation, and then salvation leads to service. And what does service lead to? Sanctification. Sanctification is what follows. It's setting yourself apart for God. There is personal sanctification. There is private sanctification. There is public sanctification. But you know, people should notice the change in your life. When I got saved, hey, Kenny King, Davey Wilson, you know, my brother, the people I went to school with, you know what they realized right away? Something's changed in his life. Kenny said, let's go for a ride. We went for a ride. And he says, Chris, he said, come on, what's going on? Why are you going to church? And he got real serious. He said, is it the girls? And I wanted to be ultra spiritual. So I said, it is not the girls. There's not one pretty girl at church. Forgive me, Miss Lisa. Now, that wasn't true. That church was filled with pretty girls. But I didn't want Kenny to think that's why I was going. No, I was going to church because I wanted to go. And I was having a great time. Man, I love the preacher, love the assistant pastor, love the song leader, love the choir. Couldn't get enough of it. You say, why? Therefore, man be in Christ, his new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Verse 17 of our text. 2 Corinthians 7:1 makes it very clear. He says, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Who's doing the cleansing? You are. I'll never forget. They had a paper drive at church. I packed up about 300 Playboys and Penthouse and Wii and all that stuff. I put them in the green garbage bag. I couldn't put them in anything else. People would have seen what they were. And I tied them up tight and I took them to the paper drive at church. They said, man, these things are heavy. He said, they sure are. Don't let God, please don't let the bag rip. Right? You say, what were you doing? Sanctifying myself. I said, this filth has got to go. Hey, you take all that stuff and you get rid of it. Change the radio station. Right? Change the radio station. I used to put every radio station. We had 3 Christian stations and all the buttons went to one of those. He says, is there something wrong with this radio? Nope. It gets 3 stations. You got to change some things. Sanctify yourself. Put some clothes on, for God's sake. You know? Them jeans that were cut off and the pocket showed on them. I mean, they used to have that commercial for Nair. Who wears short shorts? I did. And it was appalling and disgusting. I hadn't been saved long. The preacher made a mistake. He said, we're having a gospel sing. Come as you are. So me and Joe did. They'd never seen short shorts in the church ever before. Short shorts and a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt. And people are looking at that. And the Holy Ghost said, son, that ain't how you dress at church. Nobody said anything. Somebody probably should have. But the Holy Ghost said something. I never made that mistake again. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit, when you really get saved and you begin to live under God by faith, you begin to make changes in your life. And my family didn't understand it at all. My dad sure didn't understand. He thought I joined a cult. You joined a cult. It's a Southern Baptist church. It's not a cult. You ever hear the Southern Baptists? They've been around a long time. It's not a cult. But man, I'm telling you, Dad had these Jesus First pants. He wouldn't wear them, but I did. I wore them to school. You talk about a conversation piece. Had my Jesus First pen and had my little Bible in my pocket and some gospel tracts. Man, we had a lot to talk about. Everyone noticed that something had happened in my life. You say, why? Because you're living unto God. When you're living unto God, your neighbors know if you're living unto God or not. Your family for sure knows if you're living unto God or not. The people you work with know if you're living unto God or not. Living unto God begins with faith, and it produces something. Can I say this? Living unto God produces something with your family. When you're living unto God, your family life's going to be a whole lot different than when you're not living unto God. Instead of fighting and cussing and carrying on, there's tranquility and peace in the home. Now, I didn't grow up in a home like that. I grew up in a home where, man, there was fighting and cussing and yelling and crying, and it was terrible. And I said, I don't want my kids to ever hear that or live like that. Say, why? Because I want to live unto God. And I believe in household salvation. That Philippian jailer, when he got saved, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Household salvation. And it says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. You say, what happened? Everybody in the house believed on God. See, living unto God's for the family. It's not just for the dad or the mom. It's not just for the kids. Hey, it's all about worshiping together. In the home. That's where real worship starts. You sing in the home. You testify in the home. You pray in the home. You read the Bible in the home. Doesn't that sound foreign in the day in which we live? See, the problem is there ain't a whole lot of people living unto God anymore. Working together. Hey, the work of God's for the whole family. When my little girls were big enough to stand, they would stand on the street corner while their daddy preached. Right? Pass out gospel tracts, got a little bigger, hold a sign. They've been with me many times when we were serving the Lord together. Worked in vacation Bible school. Hey, did all kind of things. Went door to door. My little girls would go with me door to door in the trailer park where I lived, and we would knock on the door and tell people about Jesus. And they'd be standing right there with a gospel tract. We worship together. We work together. We walk together. The best spiritual training should be in the home. And then the house of God. I tell people all the time, if 40 minutes of Sunday school undermines all of your spiritual teaching, you don't have very good spiritual teaching. I don't like the Sunday school teacher. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I've heard that for the last 50 years. Hey, if you're teaching them good at home, no one's going to undermine your good teaching or your good doctrine. Amen there. Amen. That's the truth. Prayer, Bible, and ministry is something for every child of God. You see, living unto God with a family. Live unto God in faith, but live unto God with a family. Everybody ought to be involved in it. Live unto God with your friendships. We're going to have Bring Friend Day soon. Right? Hallelujah. Bring a friend days next Sunday. And when you think about that, you know, when it comes to friendships, and this is where so many people struggle, because I say, I look at so many people and they don't have any Christian friendships, but they have a lot of worldly friendships. Hey, our best friends ought to be the ones in this building. And that's why John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4:4 says that friendship of this world is enmity with God. It's hatred with God. Colossians made it very clear. And in chapter 3, and I'll read it for you, chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul said this to the believers, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. We need to bring people into our world and not be sucked into theirs. I have worldly associations. But you say, what do? I invite them into my world. They say, let's go to Hooters. I say, I think not. Let's go down to the bar. You can forget it. Hey, but you can come eat dinner at my house. We'll go do something wholesome. I used to love Cracker Barrel because they didn't serve liquor. They do now. But back then they didn't. And I'd take old lost sinners to Cracker Barrel because then we didn't have to worry about paying for their meal. Because they couldn't order liquor. They're looking at the menu up and down. They're looking. And I'm just getting the biggest smile. I want to burst out in laughter. Guess what? There ain't no liquor on the menu. One people said, I've never been to this place. I'll bet you haven't. God help us, we got to go to Panera or McDonald's or Burger King just to skip the liquor. But see, the problem is, we bring people into our world instead of going into theirs. See, that's what living under God is all about. I've had a lot of friendships over the world, over the years, that people would say, how in the world do you know them? And I said, because I invite them into my world. Bring them into my world. Bring them out of darkness into light. That's what living under God is all about. Don't fall out of your seat now. Number 4 is finances. Living under God includes your finances. And it's giving so the gospel can go forth. Why did Paul want people to give at the believers in Corinth? They were wealthy. Why did he want them to do that? So that they could spread the gospel around the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 14, he said, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reached unto you, for we are come as far as unto you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. And I got this far, and we want to go a little farther. He says, not boasting of things which are without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having a hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel and the regions beyond you. And not to boast in other man's line of things made ready for hand, to our hand. He said, why do we encourage people to give? So people can be saved. Everything we do around here costs money. And I don't mind that. I willingly give to it. I want the gospel to go forth. I want people to be saved. I want lives to be changed. And giving is the goal of that. Giving is the goal of ministering to others. How do we minister to people? Because people give. An older couple called this week, and they had a flat tire. And it wasn't just a flat tire. It was really a flat tire.
Have three holes in it.
And I thought, oh, my soul. I went over there and I said, well, you know what? We're gonna church is going to take care of that. And church did take care of it. And I got over there and I saw that it wasn't just one tire with a hole in it. The other one was in the trunk with three or four holes in it. And I said, what's going on with that donut on the back of your car? And he said, well, we got another flat tire, but, you know, we'll make do. And I'm thinking, you can't make do with that. All these people do is go to the doctor and the grocery store, and that's it. I said, you know what? We're going to fix both of those things. I said, open the trunk. We'll get it out. Took them tires down there, put two brand new tires on them, brought them back, put them on the car. You know how we do that? Because you give. You give so we can minister to someone else. They come and get food every month out of the food pantry, and I'm glad for them to get it. There are a lot of our seniors that are living on very little Social Security. $700 a month. Some are living on $400 a month. I talked to someone a preacher friend, talked to him, and he said him and his wife get $400 apiece. They get $800 a month is what they have come in for Social Security. If you think you can live on $800 a month, you're insane. Nobody can live on that, let alone two people. And I thought to myself, man alive, I'm glad Fellowship Baptist Church can minister to somebody. And you make it possible for us to do that. Just ministering these kids is $500-$600 a month. And you make it possible. You make it possible. Making a difference in people's lives. The last thing is this, and you're probably saying amen. Lastly thing is this, our future. Living unto God with our future. People say, is it really important, that important to live unto God? You're going to find out one day how important it is. And it's more important than you think it is. That 1,000-year reign of Christ is totally and wholly dependent upon how we live unto God now. Thank God our inheritance isn't, but that millennial reign is. And I'm shocked by the amount of people that will trade the temporary for the eternal. Sinners trade the temporary for the eternal, and saints trade the temporary for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Paul made it very clear in all of his teaching the importance of living unto God. And he said, if there's no cross, there will be no crown. You don't live for God now, you'll wish you did during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said this in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He by faith, we cannot deny Himself. What did Paul say? Hey, you don't live for God now, don't expect a ruined reign for 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul made it abundantly clear to the believers in Corinth. He said this in verse number 11. He said, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I mean, he's making it very clear here. You're the temple of God. And we ought to be living unto God in our bodies. And then back in our text. Back in our text. Where we started is where we finish. In verse 9, Paul said, now I rejoice. Not that you were made... let me get in the right spot. It says, there we go, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, that but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Paul went on to say this in verse number 14. He said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." If we live unto God, we're going to have a blessed life and be blessed. But see, to live unto God, you have to at least know Him as your Savior. You cannot live unto Jesus Christ if you have not been born again. And I think that's the struggle that so many people have. Remember, fake it till you make it? You're never going to make it because you're faking. You can't pretend to be a Christian and think you're going to live the Christian life. It cannot happen. Paul said, made it very clear, and when he said in Galatians, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live now," he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God." You know how I live for Jesus? By the faith of the Son of God. There's no way I could have been faithful for 50 years if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ. There's no way I could have quit all them terrible things in my life. Cussing and drinking and smoking and carousing and pornography. Let me tell you, those are strongholds that can only be broken through Jesus Christ. And it's by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me, that I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Living unto God's a real thing. It's a real thing. And yet so many struggle. I promise you, you live unto God, you'll be a whole lot happier. How do you get joy? Jesus first, others second, and you last. I'm living for myself. You're a miserable wretch. Living unto God brings the peace of God that passes all understanding. The million-dollar question, do you know Him this morning? And is He worth living for? Is He worth living for? Brother Doug's going to come. Miss Susan's going to come. Miss Lynn's going to come. We're going to sing that song, "Living for Jesus." A life that is true. See, it's hard to even sing that if you're not living for Jesus, isn't it? Let's stand for prayer. Brother Doug's coming. Miss Lynn is coming. Miss Susan's coming. And we're going to have that song. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, today would be a good day to find out who He is. You've never been born again, today's a good day to get born again. Be saved. Get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say, "Brother Chris, I am saved." Think, for crying out loud, start living for Jesus. Live your life like it means to God, like it means everything. We take our Christianity so lightly, when it means so much to God Almighty. And He paid the ultimate price so we could live for Him. And I'll tell you right now, that is what we need to be doing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'm going to pray. Brother Doug's going to sing. And you need to come this morning. You need to come and pray. Say, God, I want to live under you. Come and pray. You need to come this morning, never been saved. Come this morning and be saved. But obey what God is telling you. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And Lord, I know one thing. I want to live under you. And God, I dare say there's others that want to live under you. And God, that's the fight. That's the struggle. That's the battle. Because the devil wants us to live unto ourselves and the world and Lord, and unto him. And God, you want us to live unto you. I pray the Holy Spirit would bring conviction where it's needed this morning, Thomas. And God, as Brother Doug sing, God, that you draw people and help them to make the Lord, to obey you and to make that decision that they need to make. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. God's speaking to you. You need to come. You want to be saved. You want to serve God. You want to commit to him. You come right now. Wait one second there. Come on, come on. You come on. Come on, brother.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding up.